You know your role. You know your role is not to steal any focus in this thing at all. You may be a duo, but you know exactly where you need to be.
Hello, and welcome to the EuroWhat, episode 228, dropping on April 23rd, 2024. We are a pair of Americans trying to make sense of the Eurovision Song Contest. I'm Mike McComb, and I'm here with my co-host, Ben Smith. Hey, Ben.
Hey, Mike.
In this episode, we'll be talking about the last six songs selected for Semifinal 2 with our special guest, Ned Raggett. Welcome back, Ned.
Hello, hello. Great to be back.
How has your Eurovision season been treating you so far?
It's been good, but I have been so busy with various things. I really have only been keeping up with things as you guys have been talking about it, for which I am always grateful. It's one of those things like, I have thoughts, I have favorites. I don't get to have my moment like I did last year with Kariah and Cha-Cha-Cha, but nonetheless, plenty to talk about.
Yes, I do think back to that fondly. I think that was one of the longest conversations we've had about a single entry, and it's just gold from stem to stern.
It's like everybody bursting through the wall like the Kool-Aid Man.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, with this particular set, do you have any overall thoughts of this grouping?
Ooh, of this particular bunch? Yeah. It's light on the weird little guys, but we've got a weird little guy, that's for sure, in this one.
Yes, yeah.
Ethno banger or not is my vibe on this particular bunch in general, which is both good and I don't want to say bad, but more sort of like, oh, you're trying this, are you? More concrete thoughts as we get each entry. But it's sort of like, oh, these are the vibes. Okay, it's interesting. We got this little grouping right here of this particular bunch.
I feel like we were able to kind of sprinkle the weird little dudes across the season, but yeah, you're absolutely right. This is a very concentrated ethno-banger section.
Absolutely.
Which, yeah, I guess, is Austria an ethno-banger? Maybe we need to consider
modern version?
Yeah.
The Netherlands has internally selected Joost Klein and his song Europapa to be their representative at Eurovision. Joost, who specializes in hip-hop, drum and bass, and gabber, released his first album in 2016. His fourth album, Albino, was the first he released on his own label, also called Albino, and it reached number 5 on the Dutch charts. Last year, his single Friesenjung reached number 1 in Austria and Germany, fueling rumors and excitement that Joost would be heading to the contest. Europapa has already found a fair amount of success, reaching number 1 in the Netherlands and Belgium, and cracking the Lithuanian top 40. On its release at the end of February, the song broke Dutch Spotify's one-day streaming record, previously held by the song Arcade by Duncan Lawrence, which went on to win the 2019 Eurovision Song Contest. Europapa is written by Joost Klein, Mera Doni, Paul Elstak, Toon de Cruyff, Tymon Melisandt, and Tim Haars. Last year, the Netherlands missed the grand final when Chasing Daylight by Mia Nicolai and Dion Cooper finished 13th in the first semifinal. Europapa will close the second semifinal. Ned, what did you make of this one?
You know, if Planet of the Bass was serious and yet not, that is this song. That is this song. That is exactly, of course, why it works. It is, as we've been talking about, one last weird little dude for the win. And of course he would have hair like that, and glasses, and mustache, and shoulder pads, and dancing Japanese schoolgirls. I have questions. This is not Europe, or is it? You know, what are we dealing with now? That video was an experience, and I am grateful for that experience. Maybe more on that in a sec. It is trying to be serious on two levels in ways that interest me. On the one hand, it's sort of like, hey, European community, a good thing, especially with given all the recent stresses. And two, as the ending makes incredibly clear, and as I really didn't realize until I had dug into his personal history, oh, this guy lost his parents and he was barely 12. That right there is a trauma. I will never know what anything like that is like. So ending on that sort of downbeat note is a really interesting move. With that in mind, selling all this as a giddy, ridiculous, over-the-top thing that is also basically like put Dutch music and European pop music in a blender, mix, stir, and then mix again, and then slate more stuff on top of it, and then every last stereotype in the universe. Sure, Do it. Why not? I will take it over Finland's current entry any day of the week. I am sorry, Finland. You have screwed up this year badly on this front. The Netherlands clearly has it. Croatia has the weird little dude, I have to say. But in terms of something that's clearly going to place high, it's, you know, end of the second semifinal. This thing is going to coast into the final like that. I can't see any reason why it wouldn't. And I think it'll also place reasonably high. And the dude has charisma. I saw that live video from, what was it, about a month ago, where he's like, you know, did the first time. Clearly, he already has a crowd, as has been established. The crowd was into it. And he knows how to deliver it. And it'll be interesting to see what exactly the staging will be, since that doesn't give any sense of what the staging will be like at all, unless this is going to be more adventurous than I realized. So I'm going to be very intrigued to see how it comes out. For the sheer Euro vibes, it will succeed. What level of success, I am not sure.
Mike, any follow-up to that?
I still don't get it in the sense of, like, when we talked about it originally, that there's something so deeply European about this that unless you are there in the day-to-day drinking the tap water, eating the locally sourced honey, it's just not going to be in your bloodstream the same way. Like, I could love this song 100%, but it still would not fully grasp it, I think. But I totally get why this would be striking a chord with the Eurovision fandom. And I agree with you, Ned. This is easily sailing through into the grand final. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really develop an appreciation for this track until I was starting to do more background on Joost. And really the story of his grief and early trauma, and that a lot of his work is about processing that grief. I think that that is really interesting. I don't know if Eurovision is really the right forum for having a deep discussion about that, but I think it's a good forum for introducing that discussion for, like, when we go into breakout groups and put notes on the whiteboard, you know? So, but it's not one of my favorite songs, but if it were to win the contest, and I think there's a chance that it could win, I would not be mad about it. It was like, oh, okay, yeah, no, I totally get it. And this is just going to be one of those times where Europe is selecting its very European entry to win the Europe-based song contest. Mm-hmm. I think that is fair.
Certain logic.
I do think it is going to struggle with the juries, though. I think this is going to have the same sort of problems that Cha-Cha-Cha had last year, where the juries are not going to be fully on board. It might get, like, a lot of fives and sixes, but unless the stage performance is truly mind-blowing, I have a feeling the juries are going to have the same sort of reservations about it, and that's where it's going to get hurt in the scoreboard. That being said, the fact that it is closing the second semifinal, it feels like this is something that Eurovision really wants this. This is going to play out exactly as the Eurovision PR team would want it to play out. I think the entry is better than the song. And I think Netherlands is going to be in a good position.
This is a producer's dream of a song to close out the second semifinal. Just, oh my gosh, yes. We want to send things out on a high note. This is in the second half of the second semifinal. Heck yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
I feel like I had not necessarily a harsh reaction to this the first time around that we covered it, but it took a few listens for it to click. Unfortunately, a week and a half ago, I realized that this was the Dutch equivalent of if the U.S. was allowed to do Eurovision and sent 100 Gex, which is my dream. So I have no choice but to stand this now.
Yeah.
Just this is, yeah, no, this is very catchy. Like, I would keep getting, like, the first line of the chorus stuck in my head. I did call the Dutch language a deeply unserious Muppet language, but I meant that with love last time. Is I spend a lot of time with it. I enjoy it. People love the Muppets. Come on. What we've been discussing about just, like, how his background filters into this, we have a lot of weird little dudes this year. Netherlands are the ones that looked at the lyrics of what Kario was doing and was like, oh, yeah, no, we can do something that's both serious and silly at the same time. Mm-hmm. And we can do it in a foreign language. Not all of it is coming across, but I think enough of it is coming across. And I agree that I like the idea of this entry more than the song as a whole. I definitely think it potentially has the juice to win. Last year we did have, it was basically down to, is Kario going to have enough points to overtake Loreen? That seemed like the very clear vibe. We had a few things where we're like, is this a spoiler? And none of them were. It was just that. I don't think we have as clear a, yes, this is the winner, this is going to happen yet. This could do it. And, like, I wouldn't be mad about it. It's really European. I don't have the allergens in my system to fully process it, but just thinking of other Dutch things and other things we've done on this program, this one is salted licorice. Is that the first taste is real bad, but over time you're like, oh, this works. I get this.
This is a comparison. I think it helps that he's also clearly somebody who's already been established on his own. Sometimes when you're coming as a neophyte, that can actually work for you just as well. In this case, this is somebody who's sort of like, hey, I've already got this down clearly, and numerous times over, it's like, why don't I try this as well? Keeping in mind that he already is an established hit-making pro in his own area, it's sort of like, okay, this I think makes it all the more sense. This is not just simply someone like, I'm going to be a goof and enter Eurovision and see what happens. More like, I can do this, kind of like a line you were saying, especially in terms of the lyrics of Cariah's hit and so forth. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the fact that this is the plan, he wants to go to Eurovision. Like this is not the record company being like, hey, this might be a good step in your careers. This was always on the outline for right. what I'm going to do next. Marie-Sophie Cressy, who performs as Colleen, is a singer, dancer, and choreographer who will represent Austria with the song We Will Rave. Colleen started with ballet at age 2, and by age 7 had won her first dance title. She has gone on to win 5 World Dance Championships and was the principal choreographer on Starmania, the same show where last year's representatives Taya and Selena crossed paths. Colleen's resume also includes being a creative director for both Eurovision and Junior Eurovision for a handful of countries, as well as being a stand-in for various rehearsals. Last year, she was part of the team supporting entries for Austria, Armenia, Germany, and Georgia. We Will Rave is written by Anders Fretthoff, Jimmy Joker Thornfelt, Julie Agard, and Thomas Stengard. Jimmy Joker is also part of the writing team behind Sweden's entry. Last year, Taya and Selena asked, who the hell is Edgar, and finished in 15th place in response. Austria will perform in slot 6, after France's showcase performance, and before Denmark. So Ben, will you be raving?
I am still determining how much I will be raving. I really liked listening to this one in the context of often directly following or being directly before Europapa. They feel in conversation with one another. Like, Europapa feels so much on Joost's level. It is a beautiful homemade brownie with some interesting mix-ins there. And then Colleen is very much like the Little Debbie cosmic brownie. It is a packaged food. It is good. Like, both of them are good. Both of them are valid brownies. Both of them satisfy different cravings. Both of them are brownies. But this, I don't know, every time I listen to We Will Rave, especially in the context of Europapa, it completely sands down the edges of everything interesting going on with Europapa. Like, it's still doing electronic music. It is techno-y. I've watched a couple of the live performances from the parties that have been happening this month, and they are professional and uninteresting to me. I think she's going to do the heck out of selling this song. She's doing a good job. Her vocals are a little bit weak for me, but it could just be the audio and the video quality, because these are performances that are meant to be experienced live. They're not meant to be taped and shared on YouTube. I try to factor that in, but the backing track has been doing a lot of work. The song just washes over me still. I think that I look forward to seeing what they do with the actual staging live. It seems like they're building in a lot of space for dance. I'm just kind of all over the place on this one. I'm just like, it's interesting, and I think it can qualify, but I could also see it being 11th.
Yeah, I'm very much with Ben. In fact, I have a Ben-specific reference maybe that he'll appreciate in terms of this. The fact that it was internally selected and that we just sort of like we get it through the song and then the video primarily, I think both helps and hurts it. The video, of course, being something where, again, as Ben will appreciate, it made me think of a legendary Tom Servo comment on one of the, I think, Hercules episodes of MST3K, where he says something like, ah, men, enjoying their manliness. And that's exactly what that video was all about. And it was, because it's sort of like, that sort of describes exactly her role in the song, is, do you even need to be there? Yes. Sort of like, if these guys are just going around the video just hitting things with hammers and posing and leaning against the wall, that's all you need, and then a shout along chorus. She's the extra thing on top of it. And her career, dare I say, you get a sense of someone who's risen up through the ranks because they've done their time, and now here's your turn, and here's the song we're giving for you. And of course, it's a Jimmy Joker song. It's like he grabbed some lyrics out of his trash bin, sent it along, and it's a good shout along chorus. but it's not the person who should be delivering it. That's really what it comes down to. I absolutely agree with Ben. The live events really haven't been showing me much. And since it's just been her on stage, she literally is exposed. It's like, where are the dancers to give this some energy? Without that, without a sense of what the staging could actually be, it's one of those things like, you're giving a perfectly good professional delivery, indeed a Little Debbie, of a song that should be something that should be big, pumped up enough. The crowd, I think, will almost carry it more in the arena than she might on the night. And I can see the crowd getting into it, for there isn't. It's a good shout-along chorus. You can't knock that power. But in terms of it going through, yeah, I tend to think it will qualify, but I think it will only do so with a bit of desperation. We'll only find out when the rankings actually come out. That's my things of it. Like the equivalent of a 9 or a 10, a 10th place going through. She can at least hit the higher key for the chorus. That's about it, I think, and things like that. Yeah, so it's sort of like, if I'm going through an airport and I hear it somewhere over the PA, I'm like, it's nice.
Okay. I wouldn't be mad if this was playing in CVS.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Perfectly fine.
Just, oh, who put this on the playlist at Kohl's?
Yeah. Even with a fuller performance, I just feel like it's going to look like a cheer routine rather than... and cheer routines, they are fun to watch. Like, they are very high energy. But I have a feeling if this is not a song that you are into, there's nothing in it to grab you and pull you in. There's not really any sort of point differentiation, not really anything vocally impressive that's going on with this track. So it's all going to come down to whatever the extended dance sequence is going to be. And that's going to be another thing. The vocals are fine, but she's also not moving around too much during these pre-party performances. So what's it going to be like once you're getting into the second verse? Or sure, we'll use verse chorus structure this song. It feels like it is barely passing the minimum requirements for a Eurovision song. It reminded me of Bulgaria's 2008 entry, DJ Take Me Away. The first minute of the song, two guys pretending to scratch on DJ setup keytars. It is the performance that is the inspiration for the pretending to scratch part of Love, Love, Peace, Peace. Yes, it is a good pump-up song. It will be on everybody's gym mix for the next couple of years, but assuming this gets through, which it could since it is all televote, what is the jury going to do with this? The jury is just not going to pay attention to this at all. If the goal is just for Austria to get to the grand final, I think they have a pretty good chance. This is not going to win the contest. It's not going to come anywhere close.
No.
But I am looking forward to seeing video clips of this song on the various European versions of RuPaul's Drag Race as a lip sync for your life.
Very excited for the 30 seconds of this song that get pasted into somebody's floor routine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they don't even have to use the karaoke version. There are enough non-vocal like music breaks in it to do that. Yeah, I do appreciate it in the sense that it is challenging what a song should be at the contest, and that there is a built-in bias against these kinds of songs because there just aren't a lot of lyrics, and it is not a vocal challenge. But does that make it less of a song? No, it just makes it not as good of a Eurovision entry. I would actually like to hear an orchestral version of this. If they still had the orchestra at Eurovision, I think this one could be a lot of fun. I'm just thinking what a strings arrangement of this song would be like. Hopefully the Austrian orchestra New Year's Eve or something will favor us with the performance. Of course, if this does not qualify, I doubt that is going to happen.
I mean, so. they have been starting to drop all of the a little bit mores for this year from all of the performers, and we're seeing some reinterpretations. I would be down for seeing Colleen and an orchestra on this one if they haven't filmed that yet. Have you considered doing the serious orchestral version?
Trailerize the song before it's used in a trailer.
Yes. Oh, Ben's favorite. All right.
Greece internally selected Marina Sati and her song Zari to be their entry for Eurovision. Marina studied classical piano and voice growing up, but pursued architecture at the University of Athens before switching over to jazz studies. She spent some time studying at Berklee College of Music in 2010. Since then, Marina formed part of the EBU's European Jazz Orchestra and performed with the World Jazz Nonet at the Kennedy Center. Although Marina has released several singles since 2008, her first album didn't come out until 2022. She describes her sound as combining Greek traditional sounds with pop and urban influences. This year is the 50th anniversary of Greece's first participation at Eurovision, which we talked about in episode 206. Greece won Eurovision in 2005 and had a perfect qualifying record up until 2016. Last year's entry, What They Say by Victor Vernikos, finished in 13th place in the second semifinal and marked the third time Greece has missed the grand final. Zari is written by Gino the Ghost, Jay Stolar, Jordan Palmer, KB, Marina Sati, Nick Kodonas, Oge, Soulmeister, and VLOSPA. Greece will perform in slot 3 after Albania and before Switzerland.
I love this with each new listen. There's so many layers going on in this track. And still thinking about the music video and how hilariously savage it is. It feels like it is trying to do so many different things, but is very successful at each of them. Like, just given Marina's resume, particularly the architecture piece of it, this is reminding me a lot of what Constructa was doing in Corpore Sano, who was also an architect or studied architecture. And yeah, there's just so much intention behind every single choice that's being made. This is the one that I am most excited to see staged and what is going to happen with this one, because I've heard some rumors about it being possibly a single take performance, or that there's going to be a lot happening on stage, but in kind of a high risk, high reward sort of way. I'm a little worried in the sense that Ireland tried that in 2021 with the storybook thing, and it just got completely lost on stage. So hopefully it's not that practical effects style thing going on. But I trust that this performance is going to be thoroughly planned out and that everything is intentional and everything's going to be meticulous. And I cannot wait to see how that turns out. Yeah, I'm very excited about this one.
Yeah, Ned, what is your take on this one?
It's one of those ones that I think, in line with Mike, it's one of those things I first encountered it. And again, it was through the video. And I was like, okay, wait, what's the tone here? And then I think the fact that the video included the translated lyrics below was one of those things like skew whiff, like, but then letting it all sink in, I'm going like, pulling off a couple of things at once. I like it. Getting a sense more of Sati as a composer and someone who is clearly a pro at this point, someone who has experience under her belt and has tried a variety of different things and worked with a variety of people. It's sort of like, oh, okay, this is somebody who knows their way around the business, but also knows their way around particular artistic strains with intent. The fact that I was looking up the fact that she's into both Bjork and Moderat, I was sort of going, or however you pronounce them, I'm sort of like, oh, okay, I get what's going on. The arty wing of, techno, but what if we did this? Which is an oversimplification in those two cases, but there is certainly something to that. And the fact, of course, that she is also drawing on, I'm not saying biology explains everything here, but the fact that she is of a mixed background, her dad being from Sudan, and I think she's sort of like, just bringing that together, it's sort of like, oh, what if we do this? It's, this is interesting, the idea that it's no such thing as a pure Greek approach. It's more, well, Greece is a crossroads. Boom! We're in the Mediterranean. We're in this area. This is what can happen, and these are the things that come together, and a sonic crossroads as well. It's one of those things that if she was doing something for completely trad for something like the Real World label, I'd be totally understanding that. Instead, it's more like, oh, no, I'm using pop for my what I'm doing right here. I'm like, okay. And Mike was saying, without a sense of how it's going to go exactly deliver live, you're very interested to see exactly how that will do. One, I'm guessing we're not going to get a replication of the exact video vibes. Be interesting. Yeah. But the live thing that was done for the little bit more where it's sort of like chilling with everyone around and you're all performing and everyone's having food. And that's the thing. Both the video and the live performance really made me hungry. I was just sort of like, well, I just want to go to a Greek restaurant now. Damn. and where's the Lumi cheese, please? And that alone, I think, is really, really sharp. I hadn't even thought of a Constructa comparison, but that actually makes real perfect sense, honestly. There's a lot going on that I think works really well, and I think it has to get over the shock of the new for the people who haven't heard it yet, on the one hand. On the flip, I think, as was mentioned earlier, we are in a realm where people are more and more like, hey, we don't have to do English and we know it can work type thing, as the past few years have shown. This, I think, is another really good example of that. And it is, at base, a really sharp professional ethnobanger in the best way. You can't knock it. You cannot knock that. I think this will do very, very well indeed.
This, next to Austria, you have two people who are very professional and know what they're doing in different ways. Like, Colleen has a super long Eurovision resume and is very good about thinking about that 3-minute performance. But with Marina, I feel like there is a sense of, okay, this is how this tile fits into the mosaic of my career.
Mm-hmm.
And down to the music video for this, that live performance and how it carried over some of the similar video quality and visual language of what was going on between all of them. And I'm really, really intrigued by the fact that they are doing like some sort of either one shot or one take thing for the live performance. Because I agree that that feels very high risk, high reward. But again, is that going to play with some of the same visual aesthetics? Because I find them really, really captivating. I like this song so much every time it comes up. Thing that reminds me most closely of is Rosalia, who pulls together traditional flamenco with urban music. So just, yes, more artists doing this, please. It's just deeply satisfying to me watching the live performance. Like, okay, cool. She can do the various vocal levels that's needed. I'm not concerned. I have this marked as a dark horse just because if they pull off whatever they're doing with the live performance, that could really appeal to the televoters of that was cool. I want to see that again. But it also, on a song level, feels like something that can appeal to the juries and show complexity and show all the things that needs to do on that side. It could really benefit from both sides on the night.
Really, I think my only hesitation on this one is I don't love that it's in slot 3, but
I don't love that so early in the night, but again,
but it's after Malta and Albania, so it does have kind of that feeling of, oh, now the show is getting started.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, so that's finally some good food.
Yes
literally. If there's Greek food on the stage, just yes, please.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
The fourth entry in this episode will be Israel's song Hurricane. Here is the audio clip. We are recording this segment separate from our conversation with Ned. This is just Ben and Mike talking. Eden Golan will be representing Israel at Eurovision 2024 with the song Hurricane. Eden won the Israeli version of Rising Star, which was the artist selection method for this year's contest. Previously, Eden tried to represent Russia at Junior Eurovision in 2015, competed on the Russian version of The Voice Kids, and also took part in the 2016 New Wave Festival in Crimea. The song Hurricane was not the original song submitted by Israeli broadcaster Kan to the EBU. Originally titled October Rain, the song was created in response to the Hamas-led attacks on Israel on October 7th, 2023. The original version did not pass the EBU's review for political content, nor did the submission of an alternate track. The rewrite for Hurricane received approval in early March. Meanwhile, Israel's military response to the attacks has led to a humanitarian catastrophe in Gaza. An order from the International Criminal Court of Justice requiring Israel to prevent genocide against Palestinians was issued in January. As we record this segment, conflict in the region has expanded to Lebanon, Syria, and Iran. In light of this, many artists, fans, and delegations have called for Israel, represented by its broadcaster Kan, to be excluded from this year's competition. The EBU maintains its stance that Eurovision is a competition between broadcasters, not governments, and that the contest is not a political arena. Hurricane is written by Avi Ohayon, Karen Pellis, and Stav Beger. Stav Beger was on the writing team for Netta's Toy, which won Eurovision 2018. Last year, Unicorn by Noah Carell finished in third place. Israel will perform in slot 14 after Italy's showcase performance and before Norway.
In our previous statement about Israel's participation, we said we were adopting a wait-and-see approach with regards to Israel's 2024 entry in the Eurovision Song Contest. After continuing to watch events unfold over the last few months, we have made the decision to keep our coverage of Israel's entry to the bare minimum. We do not intend to be free publicity for Israel's broadcaster or its entry, but we acknowledge that their participation in the contest will have repercussions for all participating broadcasters, organizations, and audiences. Our job as media is to document the choices made by the delegations and the EBU. A full rationale for our decision is available on our website at eurowhat.com and is linked in the show notes for this episode. You know Nuza Buzaladze will represent Georgia at Eurovision with the song Firefighter. A self-described workaholic, Nuza has competed in festivals and talent competition shows around the world. She reached the semifinals of Georgia's Got Talent in 2011, was coached by Hadis on The Voice of Turkey, performed on the Russian version of All Together Now, and reached the top 12 on last year's edition of American Idol. On the festival front, Nuza won the 2014 edition of the New Wave Festival, which we talked about in episode 127, and finished third in Albania's Kenga Majike in 2021. Nuza even tried to do Eurovision, finishing in second place in Georgia's national selection for 2017. Georgia debuted at Eurovision in 2007 and reached the grand final in their first four appearances. Unfortunately, Georgia has not made it to the final since 2016. Last year's entry, Iru's Echo, finished in 12th place in the second semifinal. Firefighter is written by Ada Satka and Darko Dimitrov. Darko has been on the writing team for a dozen entries from the Balkans, including North Macedonia's 2019 entry, Proud, and Serbia's 2021 song, Loco Loco. Georgia will be in slot 11 after San Marino and before Sweden's showcase performance. All right, Ned, what did you make of this one?
Where to begin? Okay, part of this is the language. But when you're calling something a firefighter, your impression is someone who's putting out the fire. The thing is that as the song goes on, you realize, oh, this is someone who is fighting fire with fire, or fighting with fire, or however you want to phrase it. And there may be a better way to phrase it than firefighter, and maybe it doesn't exist. And again, maybe language is a thing, but it's sort of like, hey? Because when you got both water and rain and fire in this thing, it's sort of like, okay, all right. And let's face it, fuego this is not, if we're talking about fires and things like this. This is a song that, of all the songs in this bitch we took so far, even more than We Will Rave, feels like it's designed for Eurovision. Full stop. That's the problem with it. It is a Eurovision body workout song. It is nothing more. That is the real issue with this song. It is something that you get a hint of ethnobang. Yes, but that's more like a dash, a seasoning. And you get a bit of modern R&B production, a dash, a bit of seasoning. No more. That's the problem. This thing is otherwise designed for everything we see in the video, which is a lot of coordinated dancing and a lot of stuff that is slickly professional, but does not land. It just simply sort of like, boy, we have heard this all before. And is she bad about it? No, she is actually very well doing what she does. But that's the thing. She's also, as Ben just described, a professional televised reality musical show professional. Interchangeable and bop it around the world. I respect the hustle. I respect somebody who's literally gone around the world doing this and is, as I understand it, currently now living in Dubai, because why the hell wouldn't you live in Dubai if you have this kind of lifestyle? And if you're succeeding at that level to be able to do that, great, fine, happy for you. Can't knock that. You're almost in the same time zone, maybe even as when you're calling home or whatever. That's helpful too. So that's grand. But still, it's one of those things that there's just, if you called it Phoenix, even, it would actually have landed a bit better than Firefighter, because Phoenix is in the lyrics and all that. But calling it Firefighter just doesn't work. And yeah, my notes basically said something like, I see it in the air indeed. It's not quite a Lord of the Rings reference, but it's close. And I also said that the dancers got their check, and they did. But that's the problem. The dancers got their check. I have no idea what the staging will be like, but I don't think I'm going to see anything remarkable for it. The Europarty performances haven't really sold me either. She's not moving that much on stage. She's singing well on stage. I'll give her that. She's clearly like, okay, all right, she can belt it out. It's not like she can't do that. But can she do so in a way that's memorable? Nah. Is this thing going to make it out of the semifinals? Nah. That's where I'm at with this one right now.
Mike, any further thoughts?
I think this is one of those songs where it really is a distinction between being a singer and an artist. And Nuza is a singer, and she's very good at what she does. But yeah, this song, it's just a collection of hooks in search of a song. It wasn't until I discovered that the songwriters had the background with a number of Balkan entries. Oh, that's what these are reminding me of.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah. No, just yes. Just seeing that Loco Loco was also written by the songwriters. I'm like, yes.
Yep. One, two girls. Come on. But yeah, like really, I think this is getting into where Georgia is struggling with Eurovision. Like they really need to calibrate, because it is either a fire hose like this, where it's just so bombastic and it's like all of the vocals, all of the singing, or it's something that's like a trickle, which is like what Tornike performed with in 2021, where it was just so sedate. Or I would even put Circus Mercus into that category, where it was just like, it was just so there was nothing projected out from the stage in that performance. I think if Georgia can find something in the middle, that might solve their problem. It wouldn't get them the win, but it would at least get them to the grand final. And I like Georgia. I like what Georgia's doing. And I like this song enough in the sense that I don't skip it every time that it comes up, but it's not something that I'm going to seek out after this contest. Bonus points for not rhyming fire with desire. Yeah, like we are evolving as a Eurovision
culture.
They did
the bare minimum of that was on the table. That was on the table, and they're like, no.
Yeah, there was no klaxon going off. Kudos for that. But I have a hard time seeing this squeaking through, unless there is something amazing happening in the stage performance. But I have a feeling it would just be people running around with flamethrowers, even though I really suggest that normies not handle flamethrowers on the Eurovision stage, because that has only led to disaster in the past.
I feel like I should like this one more than I do. I'm with you, Mike. I want to root for Georgia. I generally like what they're doing. I liked last year's entry a lot. I like the classification of Nusa as yet no a singer, because vocally, great. And I'm willing to give both her and Colleen a little bit of leeway on the dance performances at the parties, just because those are some very narrow stages. There's not a ton of room for movement allowed.
Yeah.
And they're doing their best. This song is just, vocally, it just like starts at a 10 and like it just stays at a 10. And like, there's no dynamic. She's just a fire hose is correct. It's just like you are getting blasted by the song. And there's just so many hooks in the mix, and I'm not sure they all go together. It's one of those online recipes where it's like, it's miso, gochujang, garlic powder. Okay, we put all of the current trends together. That doesn't mean they go together. I trust, much like with Colleen, she is a competent professional who's going to put on a show. But also the performances I have seen, she doesn't make it look effortless. You see the effort happening. She's going to do the dance moves, and you are going to enjoy them. It's a lot. I want Georgia to learn how to calibrate the volume.
Yeah.
Because we either get like we get like a 3 out of Circus Mercus, or we get like a 17 out of Nusa.
Yeah.
Alas.
Considering how many pop girlies are in this semifinal, at least one of them's got to get through.
Yeah, just pure numbers. Just one of them's got to get through. It could be this one.
Yeah.
Again, we'll find out. We'll see what happens on the day.
It feels like how the fruit flavor of a seltzer is just a memory of that fruit. It's just this is a seltzer version of Fuego for me.
Okay.
fair.
I'm just like, I can taste it. Yeah, there's some carbonation. There's some fizz to it.
Armenia was the last to reveal their Eurovision entry this year, and it is Jaco by the duo Ladaneva. Jacqueline Bagdasarian, who is originally from Armenia, met Louis Thomas when they were both attending the Conservatoire de Lille in France. The two started collaborating in 2019 and started producing music videos during the lockdown era of the pandemic. One of their videos got 18 million views. Since then, Ladaneva won the Public Choice Award at the 2022 Music Moves Europe Awards. Armenia debuted at Eurovision in 2006 and have only missed the final 3 times. Last year, Brunette's Future Lover finished in 14th place. Jaco is written by Jacqueline Bagdasarian and Louis Thomas. Armenia will perform in slot 8 after Denmark and before Germany's showcase performance.
I appreciate, above all else, and there's a lot I like about this song, the brevity. 2.5 minutes, genius. Big in there, done, out. It's one of the shortest songs I think I've ever seen at Eurovision. And while the live performances and the parties have been more slightly filled out, not much more, it's one of those things that, even though there always is a time limit, it's one of those things sort of like, let's aim for maximum impact. Bam. The thing that had tripped me up initially was that the video was so good, if so almost obvious in the best way, that it was one of those things going, okay, well, how is this going to translate over? Because immediately the vibes, which of course the translated lyrics do help so I understand what's going on, sass could be the subtitle for the entire video, which is in some respects exactly what it is. It is full on ethnobanger. It's not pretending to be anything else. Genius. She clearly has charisma. That is something that is one of those things, okay, you have a presence. You have a presence even on the stage video part of it. And in the Euro party performances are sort of like, oh, okay, all right. She carries that to the stage just as well. Okay, suave. This is going to land really well. And it's one of those things that, again, the jumble in the video was one of those things like, okay, this is not great as it is, although I don't know how they're going to pull off a staging, even though everything from petting a rooster to stealing fruit to whatever and things like that, sure, bring it on. And having Dude be someone who is not pulling focus at all and doing it brilliantly. I'm just going to sit here, I will occasionally pull a face, but otherwise I'm just playing my instrument. So I'm like, you know your role. Your role is not to steal any focus in this thing at all. You may be a duo, but you know exactly where you need to be. Excellent. So I salute you. And again, does the same thing on stage too. And that's the thing though. What I really struck me about the stage performances and make me think, oh, okay, this really could connect is the fact that the crowd is getting into singing back some of the key parts and the choruses and things like that. I'm like, okay, these hooks are landing. These hooks are landing in classic Kariah fashion. Even if you don't know the full details, if you're singing along, it's sort of like, good, good. You've landed. And I think this will carry over well. That means it's sinking in. It's a good, quick, memorable performance. Again, charisma to burn. She has it. She can deliver it on stage. This is promising. I think this easily sails into the final, and I'll be very interested to see where it lands. I have a good feeling about this one. I think there's some real joy about this one. It's very pure, fun, and unfettered. I like it.
I agree with a lot of what you said, Ned, although for me, I want them to do something with that extra 30 seconds. It feels like it ends in a weird spot for me. If this is like an album track where we're immediately going to the next full song, this feels like sort of like a bridge between things. I love that it's in Armenian. I agree. She seems magnetic on stage. My eye stays on her. It's really good. But yeah, I feel like it just stops and you have time. Like, I don't think this needs a key change, but what is the third act for this song that keeps the energy going? Because it feels in a very similar spot to Trinulettle of really getting the crowd going and bringing a very real ethnic sound to what's going on. Capture the crowd. You have them in the palm of your hand. Do another thing. I really want to see what they're going to do with this on the Eurovision stage, because I think they could bring in some of the vibe of the video. Fill out the other four people you can have on stage with some dancers or other people who are miming instruments to really give it the make it like a group communal feel, even though y'all are a duo. Just like really pull us into that energy for 3 minutes, because coming between Denmark and Germany, this is real different from both of those.
Yes.
Yep.
This is a breath of fresh air. So I think that has a lot of potential of just being really refreshing between two of the more ballady, serious things.
I want to be more enthusiastic about this one, but it's just not catching me. Like it feels like it's stuck in first gear for me, and I can't really put my finger on why. Like my first note on this is it's textbook ethnobanger. And I think I focused more on the textbook part of this, because this feels like something where you gather in the gym, everybody's sitting on the floor, and they're just like, all right, settle down, kids. Miss Jacqueline and Mr. Louie are here to teach you about instruments from around the world. And it feels like something that would be playing at like the family pavilion at an Armenian street festival. This feels very family oriented. And kids watch Eurovision, families watch Eurovision, but it still feels like, the back of my brain is still surprised about that. And it's just like, why is that? Yeah, I'm just not connecting with this one the way that I would expect to. I appreciate its presence in the contest and that I think it is capturing that like folklore rock and roll ratio. I think it is much heavier on the folklore than the rock and roll side of it. I would like this to do well. I'm concerned about it being in slot 8 just because like that is right in the middle of the show and has the potential to get lost. But if they are able to create that festival vibe on stage and create that environment where I think it would like its natural habitat, I think like that would work really well. And I think that will translate through the television. I do want to go to that street festival because you know that the food carts are going to smell.
I am there with bells on.
Just all of the variety of
food
meats.
Is a fine thing, I assure you.
But yeah, I could see this getting through. I could also see this just because it's in slot 8 just be like, and because it's 2.5 minutes and just, I'm not sure it's slight, but like it's very airy. It could be just like it's there and it's gone.
I agree that the audience input is going to play a major factor in this. The audience is just kind of like, oh yeah, this is nice. I think that kind of ambivalence is going to carry through on the TV, and that's going to be a problem. But if the crowd is into this one, then yeah, just ignore me. So
yeah, we'll find out.
This looks like it was just plucked directly off of their album. I was looking at their album to go, okay, do they have anything else that was in this? And this is the one that is within 3 minutes that's in Armenian. The other ones that are close are all in French. So I can see why Armenian was like, oh, what if we highlighted Armenian over French?
Yeah.
I approve that choice. Good choice. This is another one where I'm like, I feel like I should like this more than I actually do. And I like the energy. I love her performance. But yeah, there's something where the song seems stuck on one level when it should be like kicking into a more satisfying close.
If they do pass through Chicago, though, I do want to see them. They were in LA a couple weeks ago. Oh, fingers crossed. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's an Armenian part of town near me. I should check for their dates. Just again, I will be at the street festival they're playing at.
This is also where I should say that I finally got to see my first actual Eurovision act of any sort when I saw Dottie Frere 2 weeks ago. Phenomenal performance. Oh, that was delightful. So that was very great. So yes, catch your local Eurovisions wherever they happen.
Absolutely. What other songs from this year have been catching your ear?
Oh, gosh, I almost need to look over the overall playlist again to remind myself. I certainly was having thoughts. Well, Ireland definitely got my attention. That was one of the things like, oh, okay, that changes it up. Sure, bring it on. Let's see. Ollie, UK, I'm glad for him, but I'm not necessarily feeling it. Poland's kind of catches my attention a bit, but it's a sort of a different sort of vibe here. Croatia still, let's face it, and things like that. So if I have to give it for anybody, I got to say, Sweden is completely jacking it in this year. What was that choice? I'm sorry. That better not go through.
So. Are you suggesting that their song is perhaps not unforgettable?
That's clearly, give it the B team this year so we don't have to do it next year, and we'll leave it at that. I already gave my thoughts about Finland. They clearly don't care. Australia, I have a real fondness for, the more I learn about them. I would like them to continue in the contest. I absolutely want to see it happens. I'm terribly amused that Luxembourg is this guy to come back with something so incredibly anonymous. Welcome back, but maybe not. As for the rest of this second semi, let's see, where were the ones sent after me? Oh, thank God Switzerland finally jacked it in on what they were doing these past few years and did something different. That was the one takeaway I got from that. The existence of the code is enough. I'm like, thank you for doing this. Thank you. Thank you for pushing all the pianos over Cliff and the sad guys with them. I was being very bored with that. No more. I appreciated France's entry for being so utterly frickin' French. It's sort of like, this is how most dudes there see themselves. I just know this.
Yeah. Have they booked him for the opening ceremony of the Olympics?
They might as well. I appreciate Spain's entry on Mary's Levels. I need to catch her performance of the Human League song. I saw that I've done that. I love Musti as a Drag Race Belgium judge. I'm not totally sure about the song. Let's see. Magara for San Marino. That is pure mercenary brilliance. Yes, yes. You don't have your own Maneskin, but thank you for trying. That's kind of genius. I thank you. And Estonia, that really, I need that to go at least top five. I'm sorry. That one for me, absolutely. And I do like Norway's too. That's really good. So yes, there's a whole bunch of interesting entries. As I said, if Croatia sweeps it all, fine. And I'm thinking, do I have the same total vibe as Surely Taking Over the World that Gariah did? No. So that's another reason why I'm sort of like, let's just see what happens. So it's an interesting mix. And this year, due to accidental timing, I swear I did not time it this way, I'm actually going to be on vacation during a whole bunch of Eurovision week, so I'm going to have to catch the semis and final as I can, really. I'll be checking, going, what's happening? I will be able to see the first semi, second semi, and the final, anyone's guess. Yeah. They're not travel days for me, but I don't know where I'll be at any particular point in time and if I'll actually be watching it. Crossed fingers. Yeah. We'll see.
Excellent. Would you like to plug anything for our listeners?
I have said this before and I'll say it again. I am very easily found on the internet. Current main point of being Blue Sky, where I've been now for almost about a year. And so you're very easy to find me there. Just look for my name. Also on Mastodon. I'm floating around on Instagram, etc. Things like this. My music writing writing very much continues. It has kicked up a notch this year. I've had my first pieces run in The Wire, based out of the UK. That is very much a nice little professional feather in the hat. I see absolutely no way I can get any Eurovision talk into The Wire, given their particular focus. If I can make it happen, though, I will, and I will find a way somehow. There's got to be crossovers. We'll find the artistic experimenters who somehow had like a one-off appearance there and what they've done since. There's plenty of people I can fit in with that, I'm sure. I'll also have a fair amount of my stuff starting to appear on the Rocks Back Pages site. I've recently established a sort of, you could say, an account there, working with, and more of my past will be appearing there, although it is a subscription site to be able to access it. But there's a lot of rich material that can be found there, and I do encourage people checking it out. And as for my own podcasting stuff, By the Bywater, the Tolkien podcast I co-host, continues on very, very well. We just hit our 5th anniversary the other month. My co-hosts still haven't forgiven me for making them read the Sword of Shannara by Terry Brooks, but it's such a terrible Tolkien ripoff. We had to do it at some point. It is truly bad, and it must be experienced. You understand what happens when someone gets inspired by Tolkien and does it completely wrong. Anyway, do check out that episode. Megaphonic.fm/bythebywater is where to find that, and we'll be having a newly redesigned website on the Megaphonic site that our Lord and Master Chris has designed for us all, which will be great for everyone on that domain. And otherwise, I'm just around. Find me as you do. Drop a line. Say hi.
And that's going to do it for this episode of The Euro What. Thanks for listening. The Euro What podcast is hosted by Mike McComb, that's me, and Ben Smith.
That's me. If you'd like to help support the show and access a ton of bonus content, head over to patreon.com/EuroWhat.
Our full coverage of the 2024 Eurovision Song Contest can be found on our website at EuroWhat.com. You can also follow us on social media at EuroWhat.
Next time on The EuroWhat, we finish up our review series by checking in with the Big Five in our host country, Sweden, with Slate's Hit Parade host, Chris Melanfi. Where is my souvlaki?